Stranglers featuring Dave Greenfield, who's passed away at the age of 71. First of all, Skin Deep and Duchess there. He was such an integral part of their sound. I was just all over it, really. And Hugh Cornwell, former singer in the Stranglers, said, "Very sorry to hear of the passing of Dave Greenfield. He was the difference between the Stranglers and every other punk band. His musical skill and gentle nature gave an interesting twist to the band. He should be remembered as the man who gave the world the music of Golden Brown." R.I.P. Dave Greenfield's. 8:13, the Full English Breakfast Show. They obviously didn't get the memo about travel bans because Asian tiger mosquitoes are back. And this year, more than half of France is covered by red warnings.
I saw that. It's quite terrifying.
As opposed to red bites. This year, 57 of France's 101 departments have been given a red warning about the potentially deadly insects. A further 10 departments have an orange warning from the wildlife group Vigilance Moustique. The black and white striped mosquito, which can deliver a painful bite, as well as potentially deadly tropical diseases, including dengue fever, Zika and chikungunya, was first spotted in France in the last decade and made its appearance in 2014. And since then, it's been expanding the territory. It's spotted in over the summer as global temperatures rise, although it's still most commonly seen in the southern half of France. Since 2010, there have been at least 50 reported cases of dengue fever and chikungunya in people who've not been to countries where those illnesses are prevalent. Thoughts have been spread by tiger mosquitoes in France. Experts have previously said they think France will be fully colonised by 2030. And in even worse news, it seems that mosquito traps and repellents being tested by local authorities are not very effective. So what can you do to prevent getting bit, or bitten, as the case may be? Sleeping under a mosquito net will protect you at night, but you can get tangled up in them, can't you?
I don't know how you sleep with one.
Unlike European mosquitoes, tiger mosquitoes come out during the day as well as the night, so you'd have to spend all day in the mosquito net. The best advice experts can offer is make sure there is no standing water near your home, as this is where mosquitoes breed, particularly important the bottom of flower pots after it's rained, because they will get in there and breed like, well, mosquitoes. Now, researchers are currently looking at other methods of control, such as sterilising female mosquitoes. Although dengue fever, Zika and chikungunya can prove fatal, they're rarely so with good medical treatments. So, of course, the VAR and the Alpes-Maritimes, both on the list of red alert for tiger mosquitoes.
Chicken tiger
mosquito curry.
Garlic. Does that still work?
I don't know.
You used to have rub yourself in garlic.
Oh, I don't know. Pong.
I used to do that.
Pong,
yeah.
Like a French person.
Maybe that's why.
Citronella, candles.
Yeah.
The coils you burn outside, but they stink a bit as well. Plug-ins inside.
Plugins and bracelets as well.
Yeah, do they work? They're totally effective.
Okay.
But you should avoid areas of the skin that get bitten. So, for example, if you're sort of prone to it, then loose-fitting cotton clothing tied at the ankle so they don't crawl up your leg.
Oh, that would be a really good look.
Like
you go first, yeah. Oh, no, what those? Oh, no. Knickerbockers.
There's also some devices. I saw in Leclerc the other day. It's like a pyramid thing with a tray in the bottom, and you stick this kind of special sort of patch inside it, and it attracts all the mosquitoes, and they plummet into the pyramid.
Oh, really? What, for indoors and outdoors?
Yeah, because hang around in the bathroom, because they like it sort of moist and sort of...
They hang around in my
dark.
Bedroom, mosquitoes, that's all I know, yeah.
Well, who wouldn't, really? Time for the Swings comedy. Here's a bit of Fry and Laurie today.
Hi, Peter. Peter, listen, would you like a coffee? Filter, espresso, cappuccino. We offer decaf on all of those.
Well, that's very kind. Do you have a tea?
Tea? I don't think so, Peter. I'll just check that for you. Hello, Maybelline, my love. It's Oliver here. Listen, my darling, do we carry a tea machine?
Sorry, dear.
Yes, I thought not. Many thanks, Pet. Sorry, Peter, no tea on mine.
Oh, doesn't worry.
Sir, how may we help you?
Well, this is a police station, isn't it?
Well, of course it is, Peter, yes.
Yes, because I tried to ring you earlier, but you must have changed your number. All I got was music playing in my ear. The thing is, my car's been stolen.
Your car's been stolen?
Yes.
Oh, Peter, I am sorry. Oh. And you'd like us to do something about it?
Well, yes, please.
Ah, okay. Well, have you had a look at our brochure, Peter? If you'll pardon the pun.
What pun?
Wasn't there one? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Peter, if you'd like to come with me, we'll go... Now, Peter, we offer basically three kinds of stolen car recovery service. That's the super, the lovely, and the gorgeous. Now, the super's a basic non-priority listing of your car. Mm-hmm. The lovely's higher priority, and the gorgeous is A1 top priority. We put all our team onto it, field and creative, and that also includes a full waxing and valeting of your car on recovery.
Safe.
Obviously, Peter, the Gorgeous is a more expensive service.
I beg your pardon?
Do you have an account with us?
Account? No.
Oh, you're a shareholder, perhaps?
Well, I'm a citizen, if that's what you mean.
Citizen? Oh, you mean client?
Look, I don't want to sound stupid, but I get back to England, I find my car's been stolen...
Peter, you've been away. Did you perhaps miss the privatisation of the police force? This is now a branch office of Brit Law PLC. Would you like to fill out a form?
Fill out a form? Fill out a form? You mean fill in a form? Has everyone suddenly turned American?
Now, Peter, I shall need your address, I shall need your place and date of birth, your car registration number, and we should be able to have an account verified within 14 days, subject to status.
This is insanity. I'm a taxpayer.
Peter, everybody had a chance to buy shares at the time of issue. It was all supervised by a reputable merchant bank. Well, by a merchant bank, anyway.
Madness. I'm leaving.
No, Peter, not that way. Not that way, Peter.
What?
That's the High Street.
Yes.
Well, the High Street is owned by UK High Roads PLC. We're employed by them to make sure that only those with valid roadway passes use the street.
But that's the Queen's Highway, for goodness sake. Surely I can use that.
Queen's... Oh, you have shares in the Royal Family, PLC. That would be quite sufficient.
Shares? No, of course I haven't.
Well, then, Peter, I'm afraid I must ask you to come with me to the restraining bar. Now, if you'd just like to put your hands on the detention knob.
But I haven't done anything.
Not the gold member cuffs for you. I'm afraid we'll have to use the bronze master, Peter.
No, absolutely.
Now, Peter,
no,
Peter.
No, I refuse.
Peter.
No. What? Well, you haven't changed that much, then.
25 past eight.
Today's quiz. Question number one. Happy birthday to this English singer, songwriter, rapper who was born on this day in 1981 and had a 2000 UK number one single with Fill Me In and 7 Days.
Craig Davis.
Correct.
Is he a rapper?
Well, he could be called a rapper. I think he likes to think that he's a rapper. Don't upset him.
A toffee rapper.
Craig David also shares his birthday with Karl Marx, by the way, who was born on this
Does
day
he
in
really?
1818.
The workers will control the means of production.
Question number two. This Beatles single was released in the US on this day in 1969. In 1980, John Lennon claimed that there's something underlying about a Yoko in the track.
Is it something?
No. He claimed that Paul McCartney looked at Yoko Ono in the studio every time he sang a line from the track. 1969.
Yeah. No, God, you got me.
Get back to where you once belonged.
Get back.
That was the line, apparently, right, where he always looked at Yoko Ono. And finally, on this day in 1494, Christopher Columbus...
1494?
Your face. I wish you were on telly.
Christopher Columbus. I haven't got any
had
of his records.
Christopher Columbus landed on the island of Jamaica.
God, in 2 years, didn't it? Because in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
There you go.
It took him 2 years to get to Jamaica.
Well, at that time, in those days...
And then he had to go into quarantine for 14 days.
Well, he's claimed it for Spain. What was the song by a Jamaican band, Desmond Dekker and the Aces? It was released as a single from their debut album of the same name. It was also a hit for musical youth in 1983. It's been called the Rude Boy Song. Its title and lyrics refer to the cool imagery of films such as the James Bond series and Ocean's
Desmond
11.
Desmond Dekker, 007.
Yeah, admired by Rudies. Well done. Hey, you're not just a pretty face.
Not even a pretty face. 007, Desmond Dekker. That'll be it then. Right. I think.
You can hear Christopher's in the background of
the Can't hear anything at the moment.
Yes, you can. Here it comes. Oh,
it's a vinyl version.
The Needle on the Record.
Put the Needle on the Record. 007 of Shantytown to give it its full title.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are we today?
Very good, thank you.
Bet you can't believe your luck. Your commute has just become, you know, commute down the stairs into your man cave wearing your dressing
Upstairs,
gown.
Upstairs, actually.
Upstairs?
Yeah. Yes.
Are you still wearing your dressing gown?
No. Shorts and a polo shirt.
Really? No suit and tie?
I'm sure there are some of my colleagues still in a season tie. I can think of one person in particular, but in general, no, a little bit more casual than that.
If you're doing any kind of Zoom conferencing, then you'd have to wear at least a sort of jacket and tie on the top bit, wouldn't you?
Yeah, the shorts maintained, but the rest, assuming you don't have to get up for any reason. Yes.
All right. Well, we had a brief conversation about caring capitalism yesterday, and it does look like the shape of things to come. I mean, people will want good public services after this is all over, particularly health services. So what choice will governments have but to hike taxes and get everybody used to the idea?
Well, given the debt, the deficits that we've been seeing, given the idea that we're living in a new normal world that will require different measures to be put in place, a stronger safety net for individuals, a stronger health safety net for the working population, for the broader population, and that's all going to cost money and needs to be financed in somehow, and presuming that we get back to a new normal in terms of economic growth over the course of the next few years, and then you'll be able to establish what is required in order to meet those challenges.
Yeah, and I see my favourite subjects of basic universal income has cropped up again over the last few days.
Has been cropping up lots of people saying about what's required in order to live on, and we've seen during the course of this process the furloughing that's been required and the amount of money that's been paid to keep families, to keep individuals going during this turbulent time. And they'll be saying that's what's required as we go through this process and beyond.
Yeah, well, governments haven't got a bottomless pit of money, even if they are borrowing trillions and trillions, but it makes a mockery of basic sort of estate benefits, doesn't it? Because everybody knows that's not really enough to live on.
It's true, but the borrowing figures are quite stark. There's no doubt about that. The US Treasury Department, for example, has confirmed that it plans to borrow nearly $3 trillion in the second quarter. Put that in some sort of context, it's five times larger than the previous record during the financial crisis. The federal government spends money at a rapid rate to try and mitigate the impact of the coronavirus on the US economy. Second quarter borrowing figure is also higher than the previous record for the full financial year, which was $1.8 trillion in 2009. Sign of perhaps how quickly the nation's finances have deteriorated in the United States. In February, the Treasury Department were forecasting it would pay down the debt to the tune of $56 billion. Congress has committed to spending to try and help individuals and businesses through the crisis. Not likely to be the end of it in the second quarter. Treasury saying they expect for a $677 billion during July to September quarter.
And signs that some investors aren't altogether comfortable with buying into US Treasuries because of the debt load climbing towards levels that many experts think are risky for long-term growth.
Well, it's high, there's no doubt about that. But if you look at interest rates, they still remain low, which suggests there's still plenty of demand there. Lots of individuals, institutions, pension funds willing and able to buy into the safety of US government debt as opposed to putting their money in more risky asset classes. So still plenty of demand there. Alongside that, of course, you've got central banks creating money, quantitative easing, much of which is being used to buy government debt as well.
Right, onto the markets. A late rally on Wall Street yesterday. Japan was closed today for a public holiday, but European markets were down yesterday, mainly on this spectre of a renewed trade war between China and the United States, which is possibly the least helpful thing that we need at the moment.
Yeah, I think that sums up quite nicely. Equity markets were weaker for much of yesterday in Europe, actually. The Stoxx 600 closed down 2.7%, which I think is the worst performance in 2 weeks. Investors have been nervous about President Trump as he threatened new tariffs on Beijing. And the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, indicated there was enormous evidence the coronavirus came from a laboratory in Wuhan, sparking fears you say of an escalation in tensions between the two countries. However, I think any retaliation is likely to be verbal or symbolic. The world is unlikely to be able to cope with another trade war. US stocks actually recovered, as you say, with a late rally to finish in positive territory. California sounded a positive note on its fight against the coronavirus. Crude oil gained for a fourth consecutive day. S&P 500 up 0.4%. NASDAQ was up 1.2%. Looks like we are going to get a stronger start on the European bourses this morning, seeing three down trading sessions, but currently calling the FTSE up 73 points at the open. DAX up 145 points. CAC 40 in Paris up 49 points.
Which brings us on to the thorny subject of Brexit once again, as talks between the US and the UK on trade are starting today. But I mean, All the experts are saying that it would be absolutely foolish to not extend the transition period beyond the end of this year.
Yeah, you remember at the start of the year, of course, there was a commitment under the Boris Johnson administration that Brexit will happen and the end of the transition period will come into effect as this year closes out. But an awful lot has changed over the course of that period. They are saying that the Brexit negotiations are continuing. They are saying that they are looking at other options and trade agreements with other countries, including the United States. So suggesting some element of business or at least those negotiations have been continuing despite the turmoil that we've been seeing. One would suspect they've been of limited size and scope, quite frankly, with all the attention being focused on coronavirus. Is it wise to try and push through a significant change like that at a time when there's an awful lot to deal with? Certainly remains somewhat questionable.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, as well as the massive hit the economy is going to take from coronavirus, I mean, the added hit it would take from putting up trade barriers with the European Union would just be incomprehensible.
Yeah, it's an unhelpful timing, even though if that will likely to be the long-term direction, one suggests the coronavirus means it's going to be spread out over a prolonged period of time. And even the ability to get the negotiations done. Remember, you talked to European officials and they were suggesting even giving a calmer seas that was going to be an almost impossible task given what we've seen and the disruption that we've been seeing. One suspects that's unlikely to happen in the time frame that was originally suggested.
Finally, UK car sales going through the floor again. Nobody wants to buy at the moment.
No surprise there. Coronavirus lockdowns, of course, has forced the closing of all car showrooms. No surprise that demand has collapsed. Figures from the Society of Motor Manufacturers this morning show UK car sales in April slumped 97%. Only 4,000 cars were registered, mostly by used by companies buying for fleets, particularly for key workers. That compared to 161,000 registered in April last year. In fact, the 4,000 is the lowest figure that we've seen since February 1946. The SMMT now forecasting sales 1.68 million cars for the full year compared to 2.3 million cars in 2019. But you have to say, as will demand be there even if showrooms open? Someone like to be sluggish, limited amount of people wanting to spend on big ticket items given the fragile economic backdrop and labour market conditions.
You'll have to keep your Chelsea tracksuit for another year then, won't you?
No problems there. It's not been used for a long time.
I bet you've been fined for breaking the lockdown, haven't you?
I have
been
not.
Down the kebab shop in Cobham.
I think the kebab shop in Cobham is actually open, but I have not. I have barely been out of our house in probably no more than 30 minutes in 6 weeks.
Been doing a few laps of the garden, have you?
One or two.
Okay, foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming at 126.5. Euro dollar coming at 109. Going to get just over €1.14 for your British pound this morning.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
So tomorrow, yeah, Hank Potts and Barclays. It's
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
With an additional 306 deaths from coronavirus in the past 24 hours, France has passed the 25,000 mark, with 25,201 deaths since the start of the epidemic. Health authorities have confirmed that to date, 131,863 people have been diagnosed with the virus since the start of the pandemic, 51,371 patients have been cured, and 25,548 people remain in hospital. In the region, 11 new deaths were reported in the Outremer team on Monday, one of the highest numbers of daily casualties from the virus since April the 20th. To date, the coronavirus has claimed 208 lives in the Outremer team and 207 in the Var. In Monaco, no new cases were reported on Monday, May the 4th, with the number of cases still standing at 95 and 78 patients have recovered. The government and the National Council in Monaco has asked residents to consume Monégasque in order to revive the economy, which has been hit hard by the COVID-19 crisis. According to the government and the elected officials, the people of Monaco are encouraged to consume as much as possible in local shops and as much as possible to encourage future Monégasque businesses. Meanwhile, on Monday, May the 4th, His Serene Highness Prince Albert of Monaco responded in a video message to the call for donations for funds raised by the European Union with the objective to reach 7.5 billion euros in order to help develop and provide effective testing, treatments and vaccines to provide a global response in the fight against the COVID-19 pandemic. Air France has announced that from May the 11th, masks will be made obligatory on all flights operated by the airline. The move is part of several security measures being introduced to prevent the spread of the virus as France progressively ends the lockdown. The mayor of Nice, Christian Estrosi, has said that free on-street parking will be maintained in Nice until June the 30th. He said that this was to help revive commerce in the city. As the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region remains classified as green, according to the most recent daily update on Monday, French Prime Minister Edouard Philippe has been presenting further details of deconfinement measures to the Senate. The Prime Minister said that May the 11th will not be the start of recklessness, it will be the start of recovery. He said that the deconfinement map of France will now be reduced to two colours, red and green, as the government had clarified those areas where the status was in doubt and that the map would continue to be updated daily. The Prime Minister said that economic life must resume quickly and 52 guides had been produced for businesses. All sectors will have them available by May the 11th. He confirmed that schools would reopen on a gradual and voluntary basis and that masks would be provided for national education staff and secondary school students, but masks for those students would only be compulsory if social distancing rules weren't being observed. He said that if the health situation does not deteriorate during the first weeks of deconfinement, the government will examine the possibility of religious services resuming from May the 29th. Online retailer Amazon has said that it's had a request for partial unemployment refused by the French government. The Ministry of Labour confirmed the refusal. The request was to cover 10,000 employees at six Amazon sites in France. Amazon has suspended its delivery operations in France following a court decision which was made last week. French President Emmanuel Macron has announced the results of the European clinical trial discovery, aimed at finding an effective antiviral against COVID-19 would be known this Thursday. Thursday, May the 14th. The large-scale European study, which started on March 22nd, is testing several molecules in the hope of finding an effective antiviral against COVID-19. Meanwhile, this morning, the head of state is to visit a primary school in Poissy in the Yvelines. The visit will include an exchange between the president and mayors of the department by video conference on the question of reopening schools as part of the end of the lockdown on May the 11th. Many doubts surround the organisation of the return to school. On Sunday, the Association of the Mayors of L'Île-de-France wrote to Emmanuel Macron asking him to postpone the reopening of schools to a later date. During the lockdown, calls made in France to the helpline 3919 by victims of domestic violence have almost doubled. 9,906 calls were answered in April 2020, compared to 5,098 calls in April of last year. During the lockdown, the 3919 helpline was used between 300 and 400 times a day, against an average of 200 times a day in normal times. Several petitions have been launched requesting the reopening of beaches from May the 11th. Despite the progressive end to the lockdown planned on May the 11th in France, beaches are to remain closed at least until June the 1st. That's according to the Prime Minister, who made the announcement on April the 28th. However, many local elected officials along the French coast are requesting the reopening in those regions classified as green, suggesting that a gradual reopening while respecting health regulations would possibly avoid a rush of people when they do eventually open in the summer. Finally, in other news, a mother has given birth to a baby boy at the Carrefour shopping centre in Antibes. Emergency services intervened shortly after 7:40 p.m, ensuring that the birth took place in the best possible conditions in the middle of a shopping aisle. Both mother and child were later taken to hospital and are reported to be doing well.
Riviera Radio, sports news. She must have been off her trolley.
You had to get that one in.
Football. A number of English Premier League doctors have expressed reservations about restarting the season. One of the major issues is the seeking of assurances by doctors over their own liability and insurance cover if players contract the coronavirus. The Premier League has now been asked to provide clarity over medical protocols, testing and player welfare. The league is still hopeful of a potential resumption in matches on June the 8th. American football, the legendary Miami Dolphins coach Don Shula has died at the age of 90. Shula guided the Dolphins to successive Super Bowl victories in the 1970s and holds the record for the most career wins as an NFL coach with 347. In 1972, he guided the team through a perfect season, winning all 14 regular season games, two playoffs, and then beating the Washington Redskins to win his first Super Bowl. Formula One, the sports bosses are to meet later this week to discuss a reduction in the budget cap for 2021 to $145 million. The new level was agreed following a meeting on Monday between the Formula One chairman Chase Carey, managing director Ross Brawn and the FIA president John Todt. The sports is also closing in on plans to start the 2020 season in Austria in July. All staff would be tested for coronavirus before travelling to circuits and would undergo tests every 2 days while at race events. And in golf, Rory McIlroy will lead the sports return in a televised match in Florida next week. McIlroy will partner Dustin Johnson against Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff in a $4 million skins game on the 17th of May in aid of COVID-19 charities. The event has the backing of the PGA Tour and is being seen as the first tentative step to get golf back on the roads. There's been no professional golf played since the Players' Championship was abandoned after the first round on the 12th of March.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Al Maritime and the VAR, the general situation, weak high pressure, 1,016 millibars over the region. Winds are westerly, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap Ferrat, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, northerly winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 2 to 4, the sea is slight, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,016 millibars. And the outlook for Wednesday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast, brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
Partially cloudy today, light westerly winds, temperatures 22 degrees, overnight lows 15 degrees with clear skies. Wednesday and Thursday mainly fine with highs of 19 to 23 degrees. Finally.
Previously classified documents sealed for 61 years have been revealed to show the UFO hotspots in the UK. In 2009, which was when the RAF stopped collecting records, London was at the top of the list with 54 sightings. The discoveries were reported by air traffic control employees, pilots, police officers and journalists.
Why did they stop collecting records in 2009?
Oh, they just gave up, I guess.
Well, maybe there was too many of them.
Too many of them to track. Kent is second with 30 sightings in the same year, as Lancashire and Derbyshire and Essex make up the top five. The Midlands is a major hotspot with over 109 sightings, as the counties Warwickshire and Lincolnshire make the top 15 along with Derbyshire. An incredible 626 sightings were collected in 2009 alone across the UK. So if you're struggling for things to do during the coronavirus lockdown and you're in the UK, the best time to spot a UFO, according to research, is between 8 p.m. and midnight.
So I wonder how many sightings were at 11 o'clock after the pubs closed.
Yeah, well, with the pubs closed, there are probably even more sightings.
You're up to date. The news is on the website, rivieradio.mc.